Eich.
Tres. Two.
Ein, weiß, why, I think.
That's Swedish. Because that's from Cool Runnings.
Isn't it the same thing?
Well, why Aryan?
German chef is not Swedish chef, thank you very much. That's how
I work.
Work.
Episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast, where we do not confuse the Swedish and German chefs. I am your host, Ben, a.k.a. the Marvelous Iggy. Joining me is my news bitch, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back.
Hey, good to be back, and I'm glad to know everything kept together while I was away for that 1 week. Good to know everything didn't fall apart.
No, because you weren't here. President Trump cut our fees, so we couldn't release an episode last week.
Damn it. I thought I was leaving you with a good enough token white person. John, what did you do?
No.
Damn it.
I showed my black side.
That'll do it every time.
Yeah.
Joining us, the man who is probably being monitored by Donald Trump is Jonathan Cotwright. Jonathan, welcome back.
I'm glad to be back, and I would like to give a shout-out to Taser for actually doing some comic history a few weeks ago. Saw him on the cover of the Green Lantern Planet of the Apes special.
Wow. Okay.
I've been waiting to say that.
There's no way I could let my blackness let that slide. Fuck you.
With all admiration, pal.
You hillbilly.
Oh!
Hey, I've got all my teeth,
no, screw it. Cracker ass cracker. I'm going there.
Oh,
damn it.
Man. We are officially a microcosm of Trump's America. We are the sample size right
Pretty
here.
Much at each other's throats and divided. And last but not least, joining us, the man of the mystery, the man who hides in the shadows, the man who hopes the New York Yankees will return to promise as the 2017 MLB season starts, Taser. Taser, welcome back to the show.
He's working.
I feel like that should just be the show title right there.
Bork. How do you spell that, though?
That'll be Brian's job.
There you go. Show title, how do you spell Borkin?
Awesome. So, we are not here to talk about Muppets. That's Muppets, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I swear to God, one day I'm going to confuse the Muppets and Sesame Street, and I fear every day. They're not the same thing.
Don't do that. You will be killed.
I know. But they're made by the same guy, so it's hard.
Not matter.
No, they're not.
Like trying to
Jim
mix
Henson
that up.
Didn't make both?
Don't do that. Especially don't do that near a Sesame store. Don't do it.
Well, Big Bird scared me as a little kid because of how big he was. But we're not here to talk about Sesame Street or the Muppets. We're here to talk about Marvel Comics. And we were supposed to talk about this last week, and it's a little late, but fuck it, we're gonna briefly talk about it because it's kind of important to the whole Marvel universe as a whole.
Yes.
But in a real quick fashion, it was officially revealed on what Thor, the God of Thunder, in case you just give some backstory, in 2013, a stupid event called Original Sin came out, and at the end of the event, Nick Fury whispered something to Thor, therefore making him lose his hammer and making him quote-unquote unworthy. And so for the past almost 3 years now, we have been left with a hammerless Thor and a female Thor known as Jane Foster. Now, since then, Jason Aaron has drawn out this mystery of, what did Thor say? Did you forget my car keys? Did you leave the stove on? Did you fuck Loki's sister? Because I'm pretty sure Loki may have a sister. I have no idea if that's true
or
not.
Did you fuck Loki? Because he's technically adopted. So
exactly.
You know.
So whatever going to be. So here's what he ultimately said. What Nick Fury, the Watcher, a.k.a. the character Marvel wants you to forget about, is Gore was right. And that's a reference to the first...
Jason Aaron's run.
Thank you. Where Gore became the god, was known as the God Butcher, and he became a god himself, and basically saying that gods have no meaning. Therefore, Thor's divinity was put into question, and that doubted. I guess that somehow they made him unworthy. In short, it's dumb, it took too long to get here, and it has no impact whatsoever on the universe as it should have. Taser.
You know, he wouldn't be the first writer to tie up something big back to an earlier piece of work that he had done. And I'm fairly positive that this was always what it was going to be, because he was the writer at the time before the big crisis on Marvel Universe. But it still doesn't sit well, you know, because you have to be working with this particular version of Thor, who he waits till this issue to fill in backstory to show us that Thor had pretty much always questioned whether he was worthy, even after he received Mjolnir. And yet, granted, over the decades, we've seen, you know, quite a few different iterations of how, you know, him and Mjolnir were first introduced and merged, or whatever you want to call it. But in that issue, we saw him without the hammer, him getting the hammer, and then, you know, him, you know, missing the hammer, you know, whatever. And it was always each day, I'm afraid to pick it up because I don't know if I'll be worthy. What? I mean, talk about left field. You know, that's something that movies do. You know, when they really want to keep you guessing up until, like, the last minute, and they throw this little thing in there, which, you know, is the final puzzle and also clarifies everything because you couldn't see anything before. Now it all makes sense. And fuck you, because that's not Thor. I'm sorry. You know, I get that this is this writer's take. It's his story. He's had a good run, you know. I thought the finale to God Butcher was freaking awesome, you know? And, you know, kumbats to JV for turning me on to it, because I had mostly passed that shit on by. But for him to pull this off like this, and in this fashion, to me feels disingenuous. You know, you really would not... I don't think you could be a solid Thor fan having read him for any amount of time, you know, I'm talking about before Aaron, and look at this and go, okay, yeah, I buy it. Because I can't. You know, I've seen way too much Thor where this rings false. And I refuse to accept it. I'm not accepting the story. I refuse to. And I'm not reading this book anymore. I'm stopping it. When Aaron comes on and something else comes up and he's got him and Mjolnir merged again, which I don't really see happening for a while because I know people do like whore. And I don't say that because she's a whore. I say it because she's female Thor, woman Thor, whore. I might peek back in, or I might ask somebody, hey, what's going on? And they might fill me in. But yeah, this story bothered me. No, the story didn't bother me. The resolution bothered me. It bothered me so much that it ruined the trip. You know, when you get to the end of a story, or at least I've made my point. I promised Iggy I wouldn't go on a big rant, so I'm good. Yep.
John, you got 2 sentences. Go.
Don't do that.
No, I'm just kidding.
I can't count anyway. I'm from Oklahoma.
That's true.
But I have to agree with Taser on that. Now, the main thing I got that really pissed me off on that was, like, I have seen Thor in various different stages of his, you know, career and stuff. If he was unworthy because Gort was, Gort, whatever the fuck, Gore the God Butcher was, right. I'm sorry, but Thor was proven worthy because he developed humility and caring when he became Dr. Don Blake in the first run. It wasn't because he was a god. It was showing that he had to get humility and learn that he was not, as special as he thought he was. And that right there slapped me in the face. We're going to go with that whole, the gods were blah, 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 this, and that's what made you unworthy. Then he would have lost his hammer during the Blood and Thunder crossover back in the late 90s when he went batshit insane. And that really... It's ridiculous. Not only that, but it took 3 years. I mean, I understand you got to try to weave the story along and try, and I give him, Aaron, credit for at least finally revealing it, but it was about 2 years too late. And we've had too many damn events that have been backwards, that we've had since then. So not everybody's going to bother to go back and remember this shit. And that's about all I got to say on it. I read that, and then when he turned down the ultimate, Mjolnir, I was like, oh, you've got to be bleeping kidding me. And now we're going to be subjugated to another different version of Thor here soon. And I'm like, why don't you just bring back, War Thor, which I'm like, oh, great, we're going to have John Hurt in the comics now as War Thor. And for all you Doctor Who fans out there, I'll just stick to the Simonson Thor that I've got and just leave it at that. Here you go.
Brian, in one word, not your displeasure.
I can't do it in one word.
I'll say it. Betrayal! Betrayal!
Look.
Shit.
Timing and delivery were not anything I expected from this because, like you guys said, it went on for way too long. They should have I knew when they didn't reveal it right away that it was supposed to be something big and awe-inspiring, but I also knew the longer it went on, the longer they didn't want to because they knew they had nothing in the can for what it actually was. They were just kind of like, what can we do that's mind-blowing and we'll have everybody talking? Let's take Thor's hammer away, but how do we do that? Nick Fury says something to him. Sold. And that, I feel like, was the entire process. Maybe Jason Aaron had something in mind that didn't work out, or who knows? Because I think the universe has changed twice since that happened. So, there was a lot that probably could have happened that didn't end up happening on the page. So, that being said, I liked Unworthy Thor, the whole overarching story. The reveal was disappointing, sure, but I knew it was going to be disappointing because, like you guys said, 2 years too late, and it's just nothing they built up this big was going to be that important. Like, unless it was something, that they genuinely put thought into and built up over, 2 years of storytelling, which they didn't do because Jason Aaron was off that book before long, and then they brought in he wasn't off that book. He changed books, and then that became Thor. Look, I'm losing track of my own thoughts here. Point is, while the moment and what actually transpired disappointed me, and agreed, Taser, betrayal, with less emphasis, it didn't hurt my overall enjoyment of the story. I thought it was a very enjoyable story, but I am disappointed, but I'm not angry. Like, I would have been angry if they'd revealed it, at the end of Jason Aaron's run, and it's just been a massive disappointment where I've been like, well, fuck, why bother, but... Honestly, any strong emotions I would have felt to that moment have cooled because I don't think anybody remembers that moment actually happening. I think everyone just kind of forgets Original Sin existed. And not without reason, because that miniseries was fucking awful. Honestly, I am disappointed, but I'm not angry because I knew it wasn't going to be as good as everybody was hoping it was going to be. So, I'm rather indifferent, I guess.
All right, so there you have it. Let us know what you think about Thor being unworthy, and how long, and place your bets, how long do you think till the unworthy Thor becomes worthy again? I say a year, Real quick, Taser, how long?
At least another two. They're going to milk it for as long as possible.
John?
Unfortunately, I'm thinking it's going to be at least two. Brian. Two more years.
Whenever they get around to doing the next event after Secret Empire will probably be when they bring it back.
Which, according to them, is 18 months. Oh, bullshit. Sorry. Let's move on
put
to...
Put your money
gonna,
down.
We're gonna come back to Thor in just a bit. We got one more bit of news, a little bit more controversial. If you read, and we're going to talk about the comic itself, but last week officially launched X-Men Gold number 1, the new start for the X-Men franchise, a back-to-basis sort of approach.
Their flagship book, basically.
Yes, little did everybody know that artist Adrian Tsioff put a anti-Semitic message on the jersey of Colossus during the baseball scene. Largely, most people wouldn't have seen it. It was a thing that Adrian Tsioff snuck past the inker, the editor, and, of course, the writer itself.
And, how do you sneak it past the editor? I mean, how does that happen?
Things sneak past editors
it's
all
Marvel,
the time.
It's Marvel. What do you expect?
They don't really have an editor-in-chief.
Yeah. So, basically... Do you have the actual quote, Brian?
I actually have the article up. Yeah. So Ardian South actually is from Indonesia. We incorrectly pregame by saying he was from Thailand. He's actually from Indonesia, so excuse that.
Which is a very Muslim country.
Yes. So basically he's Chinese.
No, he's Laotian.
Anywho.
Laotian.
The image you'll see is during the baseball game in Central Park on Colossus' shirt, which says QS5:51. That is a reference to the Quran, chapter 5, verse 51, which reads, and I quote, "O you who have believed, do not take the Jews and the Christians as allies. They are allies of one another, and whoever is an ally to them among you, then indeed he is one of them. Indeed, Allah guides not the wrongdoing people." Basically, what it boils down to is that... you shouldn't put Christians and Jews in leadership positions because they're not friends to Muslims, and they will backstab you and kill you, more than likely. So.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong. It's not wrong there.
Yeah. But this is all references, meanwhile.
Just look at our doofus in chief right now.
Yeah, this is actually a reference to actual ongoing political strife in Jakarta, Indonesia, where Verse has been used as a rallying point against Basuki... Tahaja Purnama, that's a name, I think, the Christian governor of the capital city of Jakarta, and some Indonesian Muslims have accused him of blasphemy against the Quran, which is a crime in Indonesia, and have called for his removal from office and arrest.
Wait a minute, what are the two names again, the two people?
We're not going to do a bit on this, you're going to keep moving.
No, I was just saying, it sounds like a wrestling match, so, you know.
We're not doing a bit on this, we're going to keep moving.
He's the governor, it's a Basuki, the high top drama.
There it is.
Again, I just audience Tsioff in the Super Rumble Showdown coming on.
Can I get some pineapple fried rice with chicken with that?
So basically what that means is that Ardian Tsioff is taking a counterpoint, basically taking sort of an extreme position, to, you know, what's going on in his own country in a mainstream comic book featuring Kitty Pryde leading the X-Men, who is in fact a Jew. Yeah. That was another thing they brought up. That debut of the first female Jewish leader in the X-Men, and what happened? And the anti-Semitic and anti-Christian imagery shows up. So, yeah.
Message, not necessarily imagery, but...
Excuse me. But yeah, Ardian Tsioff later took to Facebook, I think it was his Facebook, where he said, yeah, my career is over, because Marvel came out, and when it was brought to their attention, Marvel said they'd take disciplinary action, not necessarily remove him from the book, because he solicited still through, the first four issues.
Well, and the thing is, the book is biweekly, so he had to have drawn these issues a while ago, so either A, they're going to cancel those issues, which comes out next week, so I doubt next week, you're still going to get his art next week. But they probably still have time to cancel issue 3 and maybe 50-50, but issue 4 they can still remove it. But he's still going to be on the book for at least the first 3 because of how they're double shipping it.
Suffice to say, I think the editor will be working overtime on the next few books to make sure nothing
goes. Oh, yeah. They're going to be, yeah.
So
fire the editor! Fire the editor! How the hell does that happen? Come on, man.
If you look at it, if you look at that page, you wouldn't notice anything. There is nothing there.
If I looked at that page, I wouldn't know what the hell it meant, which means I would go back to the artist and go, what the fuck does that mean? That's exactly what I would
do. If it's something that doesn't seem...
No.
That doesn't seem as striking as it, like, well, it doesn't, it, I don't know what it means, and then you just
it's
let it flow.
Cryptic, though.
Things slip past editors all the time. I do not put this on the editor. Saif shouldn't have put that in there. If he wants to promote his political views, that's his time. He had no business putting his in the message. The editor's not at fault at this one, because that could happen to anybody, where something's you're doing your job, and something just slips past. It's not a fault of Marvel, it's not a fault of him, he or she, whoever was the editor for that book, things slip past, and unfortunately just got past it.
I'm blaming the EOC, and I'm definitely hanging what's-his-name out to dry for making a religious statement in a book that doesn't need it whatsoever.
It's interesting because... Psyoff, he's been in the business for a few years now, and he's never done anything this political. It's kind of out of left field, where it was just like all of a sudden
he might have just gotten recruited.
I mean, recruited's kind of, I don't know about all that, but like, I mean, guy decides to post his political opinion in a book now when he gets a mainstream book, one of the flagship titles.
I mean, he's worked on other things before. X-Men's arguably the biggest thing. Like, he's worked on Green Lantern before. Who knows how far back this goes, but
I'm saying this is like his big break, and he chooses this book to hide political imagery in? I mean,
reprehensible.
There is a lot of fault to go around here. Like, not necessarily, Psyoff knowing for the stuff in the book. That's on him. Whether or not the editor caught it, because obviously they didn't catch it. I don't think it's not fair to hang him out. I mean, because really nobody noticed until one obsessed Redditor went, hey, isn't that, what's this? And, like, went in and actually, like, researched it, because I would have never guessed, personally.
And I'll say this, it probably got overlooked because, again, they're editing these books like a million miles a second, and it has to come out. If something doesn't seem like, well, that doesn't look extremely odd, and it's not exactly indistinguishable unless you look it up, I can see how, like, hey, fuck it, we need to get this book out, let's put it out, why it snuck past that. Why it got past there. It's not some glaring imagery in the background. If it was something like a character in the background, then that's one thing. But the fact that it was on the jersey, that's where I don't fault the editor, because he's probably just trying to get the book out. He's probably just trying to get everything working together. He sees nothing wrong with the page. Maybe the ink, you know, he probably looked at it. He may have seen it. We don't know. We'll probably never know. But I can understand that's something as indistinguishable as it is, because, again, a lot of people who missed it, and the fact that he... So, I don't think it's his fault.
Go ahead.
I can't put it on him. Psyoff had no bit... To me, it falls 100% on Psyoff for even putting that in there. He's an artist. He has a Facebook. If he wants to put his political message, do that there. He shouldn't lose his job over that stuff. But if you want to start putting it into your employer stuff, that's when you're doing it on quote unquote company time and using their stuff to promote your message. That's a no-no. You don't do that. The editor probably, again, didn't know. It's ignorance, and now they're probably gonna look out for this stuff, and they should. And it's a lesson learned going forward. Okay, but they probably didn't even know Psyoff had these dealings, considering where he lives. So it's a lot of things, but it all falls on Psyoff. It all falls on him.
He should be fired. That's it. The editor-in-chief should be reprimanded. I'm not saying they got to take and, you know, flog his or her ass, you know, in the middle of One Marvel Way or wherever the fuck the building is now. But there should be some bit of discipline that's not, like, ridiculous, but, hey, look, we understand we're trying to push a lot of shit, but you need to be on top of some stuff, okay? This is your job. And fine, leave that at that, you know? And or if they have, you know, a quality assurance person who does the same job, then, yeah, they need a talking to. I'm not saying that, you know, these people need to lose their job. The fucking artist needs to lose his job because he should be ashamed of himself. I don't have a problem with people speaking their political or religious or whatever views, but making a statement in a piece of medium that tries to be as inclusive as possible, especially considering the subject and the characters that we're talking about, is reprehensible. And I don't look at comics as children's media. It hasn't been that for like 30 fucking years. People just kind of slow to figure that shit out. But you're looking at something that a large number of diverse people enjoy and have been enjoying for a long time. If you have that view, I got no problem with you. I would even defend with my life, and I mean this 100%, your right to say it, you know, because everybody should have a voice. But you printing it in this manner to affect however many people end up buying the book is surreptitious and foul. I fuck you. Fuck you. You need to be punished for this. I'm not saying jail, but you definitely need to lose your job. And I don't know about being
He said his career is over. And interesting enough, before we go over to John, because John has anything, that Sean Murphy tweeted out that his career is probably not over. Give it a couple years, he'll probably be back. Because comic artists have done, according to what he's known, worse, and they still get work. So, yeah, I guarantee, he's not gone forever, but he's not gone forever, but he's gone for now. Mm. Which is a shame, because I liked his art. I liked that he was going to be drawing the book. But let's go to John real quick, our man on the street.
Our man on the street and watching the tumbleweeds go by. I really, other than the fact that, this is really wasn't a big surprise to me, because artists slip shit in all the time that people don't catch. This one just, he got caught with it, and it just happened to be the wrong thing to probably put in. I agree. He will probably be fired, and he should be fired, because getting with the religion and stuff, especially with the way the low tolerance for Islam type stuff is right now, or just religion in general. Yeah, that was kind of a dumb move. And yeah, his career is over for right now. But much like other people, he'll lay low and get back. I'm not going to crucify him or badmouth him. Everybody else has already done that. All I know is that because of the controversy creates cash thing, I couldn't find the damn issue today when I was going for, when I was looking for something to read today, and I figured we might be talking about it. And yeah, it was gone. I mean, so yeah. I really don't have much of an opinion on it too much, other than, yeah, you should have known better, grown man. I mean, it's kind of sad because I do like the guy's art, but I try to keep politics and stuff out of comics, because, it's comics. I'll basically reiterate what Taser said. Fuck him.
I just want to point out one thing. How messed up is it that he put on a Colossus' shirt?
Yeah.
That's.
What do you mean?
That's because Colossus and Kitty have a past, a serious past.
Yeah.
Oh.
And,
oh.
He's Russian. Technically he's an atheist, even though he knows that there's a heaven and a hell.
It would have been worse if he'd put it on actually, maybe Nightcrawler's shirt, the devout Catholic.
That might have been worse, actually. But it's still, I think, because they had an intimate an intimate relationship, it's like, wow, when I think about it, I'm like, fucked up, and wow, that's fucked up, but okay.
And then the issue, pretty much, Kitty says that I can't love you anymore.
She's moved on.
Yeah. So it's kind of like,
We'll
get to that with the reviews.
So yeah, basically, we'll wait a minute. Did Peter wear that shirt because he knew he was going to get turned down?
No, because that was before. That
he
was
wore it
before that
before
happened.
He got turned down.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm,
so,
okay.
I don't know. It's weird. But I think we've said enough on the topic. I think we pretty much all agree that he's done. Even CF knows he's done for now. But is he done forever? No. He's not done forever. Again, I don't know any comic artists, but apparently, you know, you can do a lot of things. He didn't kill anybody. He did a dumb thing. He put a message in there that shouldn't have been in there, that was clearly anti-Semitic, that has no place in an X-Men comic of all places. But he'll be back, because he's a good artist, and they're going to want him to back. But again, you have the power of Facebook. You're an artist. Use your art on elsewhere. You don't have to hide it. You shouldn't. I don't know why he hid it. That's the thing that confuses me. Like, why? You clearly feel strongly about this, so don't hide it. Even if it
doesn't
matter. I don't know.
I mean,
I don't agree with it.
This is a very complex issue that we could spend all episode unpacking, but I don't think we really want to, because, you know.
Right.
We've said all we can say. Really.
Let's move on to some dumb shit, which is the Thor Ragnarok teaser trailer. So,
Gene Code.
Right about now, Funk Show Brothers. Second, is that the right?
I want to point out to Taser that it looks there, and I've seen this posted on Twitter that Scourge is in this movie. I didn't know he was in this movie.
Yeah, I dread.
And that there is a recreation of, I guess, his last stand in the trailer of him shooting his U-guns. So who knows if that's going to be in the movie or not? But there's a reference to it at least. But this trailer, so, you know, I never thought of Cate Blanchett as really attractive. You know, she was older. But her in the all black really do something for me. The one thing I didn't like about the trailer was the fact that they showed Mjolnir getting destroyed. Which is, like, I guess to show that the Hela goddess of death isn't fucking around. That she just destroyed the hammer. But that's really the only thing I didn't like. I would have liked to have not known that going into the movie, because I would have been like, oh shit, Mjolnir's gone. What are we going to do now? I did not expect to see her in her full her full helmet.
I smiled there. I couldn't help it.
Yeah,
I smiled.
That's the most curvy thing that's been on this. Actually, this whole if you pause it on Jeff Goldblum's long, incredible couch, if you look in some of the background characters and the background, there's a lot of Kirby influence in there. But, yeah, I did not expect to see Hela in her full helmet, which is actually really, really cool to see that. This trailer looks like it's going to be fun. The movie looks like it's going to be fun. I'm curious to see what Valkyrie is doing with the Games Master. Right, that's who Goldblum's playing, right? The Games Master?
Grandmaster,
whatever. Like, she's a Valkyrie, so why is she working for him?
Yeah,
that's interesting because
show her at one point riding a friggin' Pegasus, and yet now she's a henchman for Jeff Goldblum, I guess?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's weird. Also, Jeff Goldblum did not sound enthused. Like, he just sounded like, when he was introducing the final part of the trailer, he did not sound enthused at all. Again, that could just be one cut.
He
always sounds
enthused when there's chaos, and you sell it, and, you know, life finds a way, I suppose.
That's true. Yeah. that's true. But overall, I think the trailer was great. I thought it was fun, and the whole, you're incredible Hulk, and seeing Hulk in his Planet Hulk armor, that shit was awesome. Like, that looked fucking cool. And then, I have to admit, I laughed when Thor just screams yes at the top of his lungs, silencing the arena, confusing everybody, and he goes, he's a friend from work. And then, like, it was just too great.
That is still the best thing. Oh my god.
Like, he just wants to fight. It was too great. I'm curious, like, how does Banner get there? Because, like, obviously, I hope they show that, because last time we saw him, he was flying in a Quinjet from Age of Ultron.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again.
So yeah, I'm excited for this trailer. It looks like Hela is gonna be the big bad, and then the Grandmaster is sort of just a means to an end, I guess. But I really, it looks like, I mean, isn't like Ragnarok, I mean, obviously we associate it with Surtur, but like Ragnarok takes many forms. Like it's a cycle that keeps happening. Isn't it true, right, with Norse mythology? It's a cycle
Ragnarok
that keeps on going.
Ragnarok is basically the apocalypse, where the next era of human, you know.
Right, so this is just this first Ragnarok that we're seeing, which is, I guess, would be Hela, goddess of death.
But Surtur is always at Ragnarok.
Well, we'll see about that. In this iteration, I guess. But who knows? I like this movie, and I'm more excited because, again, this is the one we haven't really seen a lot of up until those pictures about a month ago. And I like what I see. I like what I see. And putting the wrong version of Immigrant Song was the worst thing they could have done. And I'm going to leave it at that. John, I want to let you bitch for a minute.
Okay, the two positives I will get out of the way. Hulk and the planet, you know, in his planet Hulk armor was good. Seeing Hela with her headset, you know, headgear, was good. If I want to fucking watch Guardians of the fucking Galaxy, I will go in about, you know, next month and watch Volume 2. I want to see Thor kicking ass like he did in the last two movies. I want Guardians of the Galaxy style fucking humor. I'll watch Guardians of the Galaxy. I was not expecting a 100% adaptation of Ragnarok, you know, by any means, as MCU. But I... Seeing Jeff Goldblum as the Grandmaster, you know, just kind of looking like, you know, hey, man, like a lounge lizard, I don't know. I'm still going to go see the movie because, you know, Thor's one of my favorite characters.
Also, you do a podcast.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm saying, aside from that, yeah, it's not because I'm going to be forced to, because I willingly will watch it. But this trailer just makes me just, it's like, okay, so we're going to get a bizarre mismatch of Thor mythology with Planet Hulk, because they can't do a solo Hulk movie due to licensing shit with Universal. I'm going to stop there because, you know, if I want to see Guardians of the Galaxy, I'll see Guardians of the Galaxy. There you go. Fuck.
Taser, are you going to continue the bitch train, or do you actually have something positive to say about this trailer?
The second thing. I'm sorry. I'm eating pork rinds with Alfredo sauce. Close.
Oh, that sounds good.
That sounds disgusting.
No, it's actually delicious. Like I posted out, because I posted the trailer a few minutes before we started the show. It dropped like about 12 hours ago. I'm usually left without any social media, you know, while I'm at work. So when I came home, Brian and John, well, Brian had posted it, and somebody else had posted it, and then both of them tagged me. I looked at hers first. I was like, "Oh!" I have the weirdest boner. I couldn't help but, I admittedly, the Led Zeppelin movie, the Led Zeppelin music helped.
Yes, it did.
I didn't want it, but it was. Okay. Yeah. You know, I couldn't help it. I couldn't help but smile. I saw the bit with the Scourge and the guns, and like Iggy says, I went back to, you know, The Last Stand. But I even that bit right there, I know it's just not going to be as awesome as it was with fucking Simonson, you know, the way Simonson pulls it off. But I already know at this point now that I'm not getting Simonson's story, so I'm not looking for it. So if he happens to die, it really doesn't matter to me at this point. Pardon me. I am still disappointed that they pulled the style change on Valkyrie, because while I can go for diversity in some cases, this is like kind of a slap in the face towards blonde women. You know, they didn't want the big blonde women. Valkyrie's a blonde, is a big buxom blonde. She's blonde. That's like having somebody else. That's like having, what's his name? The big tall dude from Key and Peele play T'Challa. You know, There's just some things that just don't look right. Cate Blanchett, that's the one from Titanic,
Lord
right?
of the Rings.
Oh,
no,
she was
She wasn't from Titanic.
Oh, okay, anyway. Thank you. Okay, Lord of the Rings, oh, the Queen, all right, right. Okay. Okay, and, you know, when she palmed Mjolnir, I was fine with that. And then she did what she did afterward, and I just kind of went, oh, God, no. Loki, of course, is in this. Whether we actually see what's-his-name, the father, is another story entirely. I have no idea. Seeing Thor with his haircut. Okay. I did not like it. I thought that was actually, oh, all right. And, of course, you know, his reaction to seeing Hulk come bounding at him, you know, in full gladiator gear or whatever. Okay, yeah, that made me smile. I couldn't fight that one either. Jeff Goldblum, from the little bit that we saw, looks like he's actually doing a decent job as the Grandmaster, because the Grandmaster is somebody who he just barely regards everything before him. You know, he's usually that dismissive because he was insanely powerful. Here, I doubt he'd be so, but it looks like he's got a semi-decent grasp on how to play him, you know, as opposed to Benicio del Toro as the collector. I fuck him. I'm looking forward to this movie. I still have a few reservations, but I'm looking forward to it. Okay, so, smiles. I have a smile. So there you go.
Brian, wrap it up quickly.
Hey! Why do the old men get to go on forever?
Because you don't matter.
Oh! Because, you know, Bri, you're the young white guy. You're privileged.
I'm being oppressed. I'm being oppressed.
SJWs!
Brian, you can't be oppressed. You're white. Move
hey,
on.
Hey, check your privilege. I loved it. Using the best version of Immigrant Song. The best version.
I mean, Trent Reznor did a pretty amazing cover for it.
I'm not saying Trent Reznor destroyed Immigrant Song with his bullshit antics, but... Anywho.
Hold on. One music note. I never knew the name of this song until just now.
Seriously?
Everybody just knows that most people probably just know it as the song.
Yeah, I never knew the name of this song.
Fucking seriously, dude? Oh my god. Okay.
John, we're white. They're not. It's not expected of them to know legend.
Whoa. Hold on. I knew it was called Immigrant Song. I just prefer the superior version, which is not done by Led Zeppelin.
That's
there
okay.
You go.
All I've never heard is the part. You know, I only
okay,
heard
look,
5 seconds, so there you go.
Moving on.
We should do a music podcast!
No, we shouldn't. No, we shouldn't.
Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin is this vastly superior version as to Trent Reznor, but what if... I'm going to use all my time bitching about Immigrant Song now.
There you go, talking about Ben again. Great.
I thought it was cool. I dig it. Obviously, it's not Ragnarok. It's much more Kirby's Thor than Simonson's Thor. What that means for the overall tone, obviously you've seen, it's, I guess you'd call it Guardians of the Galaxy-esque, as John, you know... Shut up! Never mind. Okay. I really dig it. I think it looks enjoyable. I mean, granted, part of me looks at the scene where... I think it's Hela just wastes Asgard, and I'm kind of like, I don't think she can do that. Like, even in the grand, I don't...
Yeah, actually, yeah.
I don't think she can do that, like, legitimately.
Yeah, really, yeah, good.
But part of me is thinking maybe it's a...
God damn it.
Wow.
I apologize. I'm muting for a minute, I apologize.
Oh my goodness. Part of me thinks that maybe the whole scorching of Asgard, maybe it's some grand conspiracy theory because they're trying to, like, trick Thanos into being like, hey, Asgard's gone because part of me is in such deep denial as it can't be that easy. It cannot be that easy to just destroy the realm eternal Asgard. Just be like, oops, I killed it. Just, no, it's not like that. So, but
I mean, she is the goddess of death.
Yeah, but even in Ragnarok,
goddess of death
had to actually put up a fight with an army, and never mind. So, Cate Blanchett, oh my God, be still my heart. You, she can do Goth Girl, and she can do Bright and Preppy. She can do it. Oh man, I love it so much. Seeing Mjolnir crumble was just heartbreaking. Obviously, I'm interested to see how in the fuck, because they also confirmed Doctor Strange is in this one, correct? I believe that.
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to be showing up, because that ties into the post-credits for Doctor Strange. So, how Thor and Loki end up, you know, from, like, Asgard being scorched to the Grandmaster's arena to Sanctum Sanctorum in New York. It's interesting.
Well, the Sanctum Sanctorum probably happens before the haircut happens, because he still has his haircut, his long hair, in the Thor, in the Doctor Strange post-credit sequence.
So, that being said, I'm really interested to see how this goes down, because I want... I am just on... Because, despite all this shit, I know nothing about what this movie is about. It's fucking a mystery to me, because it's not fucking Ragnarok. I'll tell you that. And if it is Ragnarok, it's an extremely underwhelming Ragnarok, and it's not... It's like how it goes Ragnarok, Planet Hulk, to, like, some other bullshit. I'm really just kind of like, I have no idea what the fuck this movie is about, but god damn it, I am in the seats for it, man. I want to see it, and that trailer got me pumped up. And yes, seeing Thor freak out like a dog seeing his human come home was fantastic. Like, yes! He's a friend from work! It is the best thing. I loved it. And I want to see how Loki turns out, because it looks like this film, they're not exactly prioritizing Loki, which is actually kind of a breath of fresh air, given the fact that Thor 2 was basically just Loki and Thor. So
My brother and me.
So, how that goes over, I'm intrigued to see, but I am on pins and needles, ready for it. I want to see it, man! So, I am two thumbs, way up excited. Led Zeppelin and Kirby aesthetic is all that I need. And Jeff Goldblum. I'm interested to see how he plays it off, because me and my girlfriend, she loves Jeff Goldblum from, like, Jurassic Park, man. She had a crush on him. Freaking Ian Malcolm, man, killing it. And Valkyrie, kind of like, you know, I kind of want them to not do the easy romance, because I want him to be loyal to Jane Foster, because it doesn't look like she's showing up for this one either, so... You know, disappointment abounds, because no Natalie Portman. But hey, you know, whatever happens, happens. But I am there for it in the seat. It's probably going to be a midnight release for me. So, yeah, I'm there.
I just got two things to say. One, to heck with Natalie Portman, I want what's-her-name from Two Broke Chicks back.
Oh, Kat Dennings.
Yes. I love Kat Dennings.
Oof, back movie.
Oof. And your reaction to this is my reaction towards... freaking Transformers The Last Night or whatever the hell. I love the trailer. I have no idea what the
All right. Let's move on, because we're not here talking about
that.
We're already running out of time. John's only here for another few minutes. Let's move on.
All right.
Let's move on. That's it for the news stuff. So now let's go into reviews. John is going to go up first with the review he's wanted to do for a while with... U.S. Avengers, the most American thing, a thing that you would have thought would have been created after the Trump presidency, but it happened before it. John.
Hero.
Okay, well, to show you that it's not Trump, the gentleman who runs the team and owns AIM now is Robert DaCosta, who is best known as Sunspot from New Mutants for Me and Taser, and much later, you know, in Jonathan Hickman's run of the Avengers.
Wait. You know who could play Sunspot if he did a cosplay?
Who's that?
A-Train, I'm looking at you. Oh. You need to do Sunspot. He'd be an awesome Sunspot. A-Train, that is a call-out. You need to do a Sunspot costume. I'm saying it.
Basically, I'm just going to do a quick deal, but you find out that, you know, when AIM decided to go on the market, so to speak, DaCosta, since he was a billionaire, bought him out. They became good guys, so they work for him now. And the U.S. Avengers are a new version of another one of the spinoff of the team. I remember giving this shit back when we first saw the stuff, you know, promo art and stuff back in, you know, with Robot and all them. I have to admit, this title has surprised me. The first two issues, I'm on board. You got a new Iron Patriot who does not use offensive weapons. She uses more defensive and is non-lethal.
Like Rescue?
Yeah, but she's a good version of Rescue.
There's no such thing.
But yes, there is.
As you were.
In this one. And you have Cannonball and Sunspot for the old fogies like me. You have Squirrel Girl, who, while is not my favorite character of all time in Marvel, she does outrank X-23, but that's a whole other story. But I will say this, it was cute seeing in the second issue she used flying squirrels to take out enemies' drone attacks. It was hilarious. And the one that I really thought was going to bug the shit out of me, but I actually found a pretty neat concept, Red Hulk with a porn stash. But it's a new guy. It's not General Thunderbolt Ross. And basically, it's the Hulk version of Our Man. You know, from the old DC Comics classic hero where he had to take a pill. He would get superhuman strength, you know, and all that for literally 1 hour. This new Red Hulk, for about an hour and a half each day, he taps into the system that they use, can turn into the Hulk, and just be badass for about an hour and a half. That can come up with some interesting storylines later, and, you know, debating on when do they need to use Hulk power, so to speak. There's another character that I'm not really familiar with, but she's like almost like a female Vision type, but she wears armor. And it works. And we get to see the Jessica Jones and Luke Cage's daughter from the future pop up at the end of issue one, you know, the female Captain America going after the Golden Skull. And I will have to say that it's a pretty good two issues. It was much better than I was expecting. The art by Medina, I think it's, Paco Medina. He did a really good job on the art. It's cartoony just enough to be, you know, silly and stuff, but it's really good. I give both issues, I'll give it a 4 out of 5. I wasn't expecting much, and I got a shit ton in payback for the two issues that I read. The only thing that might be possibly better than these two issues that I've read lately were the first two issues of the new Iron Fist. But I'm not going to go into that. There we go.
All right. Thank you, John, and you have a good night. We'll see you all next week.
I'm still here, but I'll be off on the mic.
Oh, okay. Well, they ruined the illusion.
What?
I reviewed in a surprise twist. I did not make X-Men Gold number one, the book of the week, and I was going to review it for myself. But then Ty, a good person at my comic book store, basically suggests you should try Royals. But I hate the Inhumans. You should try Royals, is what he said. So I fuck it. It had somewhat of a light week, so I tried Royals. And at the end of the day, as a person who hates the Inhumans, as a person who has hated the Inhumans since Infinity, and they became a bigger part of the Marvel Universe as they slowly and surely have killed my favorite X-Men series and dwindled them down to nothing, into dust, and now they're just left with anti-Semitic messages in their comic books and ultimately nothing. I decided to betray my own fandom and just pick up Royals number one. And was it a bad comic? No. Was it a waste of time comic? Yeah. I want my money back. Because I feel like a waste of my time. Because I don't give a shit about any of these characters. Apparently Medusa's dying. That's a thing. I don't know why she's dying, but she's dying. Because her hair is breaking off. I don't understand the royal family. I don't think this is a good first issue for newcomers. The art was fine. I liked the art because it was John Boy Myers. And he was going to be drawing Teen Titans DC for a bit. Then he got taken off. Now he's on this. And yeah, I'm not coming back. No, this is not interesting enough for me to read it. I think I fell asleep towards the end. I'm pretty sure I fell asleep towards the end because I just could not care about the Inhumans' power dynamic. Apparently, Black Bolt's giving the cold shoulder to Medusa, which I guess that's he should, considering she was fucking Johnny Storm for a while. So, there's that. It's weird that Medusa's referring to her, to Black Bolt, as my husband still. That's weird. Like,
they haven't gotten a divorce.
That's still weird. That's still weird.
It's a royal thing.
You were sleeping with another man. Like, that's still weird.
Also, their cousins.
Yeah. Oh, 1 out of 5. 1 out of 5. Yeah, I'm not coming back. It wasn't bad, but I'd rather you be terrible bad than uninteresting bad. This is uninteresting bad. I don't give a shit. Give me my X-Men. Brian, please, X-Men number one.
Okay. No controversy surrounding this book. X-Men Gold number one by Mark Guggenheim and the other guy. So... We start off setting up with what I guess will be the next sort of political villain of the X-Men, who is Lydia Nance, Heritage Initiative director, who compels people to believe that mutants are weapons of mass destruction walking around, and they need to be destroyed, and that's why they're the most dangerous, because they're evolutionary, they're not, like, accidents or whatever, which I don't know how that argument works. It's bullshit, but then again, they're basically calling out Fox News, so, you know, there's that. But what we get to this is a very back-to-basics sort of thing. Even in the afternote, Guggenheim says, we're going back to go forward, and that's sort of the premise of this book. They've set up shop in Central Park in New York City. You know, they're back to being a school for gifted youth, and they're playing baseball games on the lawn, and, you know, it's a very basic team. You have Colossus, Nightcrawler, Storm, Wolverine, Kitty Pryde, Rachel Gray, who adopts a new code name in this Prestige. I don't know why, but I like Prestige. It reminds me of the Prestige movie, which was fucking bomb, yo. But you get their first fight against Terrax, and Kitty Pryde gets, sort of a PR shitstorm handed to her. She has to try and pick up the mess. And also, she owes like $18 million in taxes because Central Park is the most valuable residential property in, like, the world, I guess. So, yeah. She's in debt up to her eyeballs and handling a crowd who already doesn't like her, and she's aware it's going to take them forever. And she handles it very gracefully. And then you get some back and forth with Kurt and Roro. You know, they're basically saying, like, you know, don't lose hope, you know. The war may be over, but the real fight's just beginning, you know, that sort of shtick. And, yes, we also have Kitty rebuffing an advance from Peter, kind of, who's like, you know, you want to come join me for dinner? She says no. He says, you know, well, you know, is it ever that simple with us, really? And she says, no, I moved on. And they get called to deal with a massive attack at the UN headquarters, and they come across a newly formed Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, who's being led by, I think that's Magma being led there, so they have Magma, it looks like, I think that's Pyro, and Avalanche, I think is the Tectonic guy, and it's like an alien or some kind, I don't know, there's a couple characters I admittedly don't know, I'm just not sure if they're new or I've just been out of the loop for a little while, but yeah, they're kicking things off with the classic team of X-Men facing off against the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. And in, like, the first page, Kitty Pryde says, to me, my X-Men. And, you know, that's sort of, again, the whole theme of this book is going back to going forward. And overall, it's a solid start. It's a very back-to-basics book, but it works because, you know, for too long, you felt like you couldn't pick up an X-Men book because it was too embroiled in whatever Inhumans bullshit was going on. And I think that really kept a lot of people from bothering, kept me from bothering, you know. And I like that we're just kind of putting things, not necessarily back the same way, although we are, because what was the first thing they did after Inhumans versus X-Men? They jettisoned the Inhumans fucking back to space, those poor motherfuckers. But, you know...
Good riddance. Well,
I like the fucking Inhumans, man, but they had to go ahead and retcon everything. But I will say that I liked the book, you know. The writing is solid on this, and the artwork... It's good, you know. It sucks, too, because I feel like dirty if I say I like the artwork in this. It's like, oh, what, you like extremism? Like, fuck off. the artwork's just nicely done, I thought, you know? And until somebody pointed out that bullshit propaganda to me, I never even noticed it, but there it is, you know? Now this book will forever be marred in the, hey, isn't that the book where the guy put the Quran quotes in, like, hidden meanings? And like, yeah, I guess that's that. Which, you know, if that hadn't happened, probably would have been just a solid little book, you know? And it is a solid little book. I quite enjoy it. Not perfect. It's more slow to start. You know, it doesn't have a lot of action in there, but it has some neat stuff. Overall, I give it a 4 out of 5 easy. I was leaning between 3.5 and 4. I'll give it a 4, though, because, you know, it's just, it's a solid start. I thought it was well done, well written, and, you know, the art is really nice, too. So, you know, I give it a 4 out of 5. So.
All right. And Taser, bring us home.
Okay, just let me hire an Uber, and I'm going to need you guys to, like, you know, pony up some cash.
Why, Taser?
You said bring us home.
The show! Bring the show home!
Okay, in Humans Prime, right off the bat, I'm kind of, I have to side with Iggy on this. I read this to see what...
By the way, you and I read the two different issues.
Yeah, I get that.
Just making...
But I'm with you in that, yeah, I just don't care. You know, I figured I'd look at this to see, you know, the state of things in humans post, you know, IVX, and I really just walked away like, yeah, blech. Apparently something had gone on with Maximus Triton, which was kind of surprising because he was always, you know, a fairly stand-up character, and two other Inhumans that I had no idea that existed, okay? The four of them are out in the desert, and they're talking about, you know, it sounded like there was a mini coup attempt that had gone off and gone wrong. And now that, you know, they're fretting about wondering, what are we going to do? What is we going to do? Excuse me. When Lockjaw and Karnak show up. And, you know, immediately they're like, oh, my God. Triton and Karnak start to talk. And then all of a sudden, Triton goes after Karnak. And then you realize that Maximus is now, you know, controlling Triton to take and hold him off. One of the others, that was with Maximus is named the Unseen or some crap like that. He apparently eats Terragon, Terragenesis, whatever the hell, the crystals. And it has like a dial H for hero effect. Whenever he eats it, he gains an ability for, I guess, a set amount of time. But there is none. But Maximus, of course, manages to save a piece. So he bites into it and, you know, oh, no, I've got abilities now. And, you know, Karnak is, you know, biding his time and, you know, waiting for reinforcements and blah, blah, blah. They all end up eventually getting taken in. And Black Bolt, of course, meets with his brother who's behind bars yet again. This is actually something that's happened about 4 or 5 times, I think, in human history. At least 3, okay? And because, of course, Black Bolt doesn't say anything, his brother does all the exposition, and you come to find out that something bad happened with their parents. We know that Black Bolt inadvertently killed his mom. I think his mom possibly is that, but something other than that happened. That's a secret kept between themselves that... I'm keeping your secret, brother. You know I'm my brother's keeper. You know, that kind of bullshit. You see, what's her name? Red-haired chick. Medusa, she's, you know, showing a whole lot of humility and sadness over the crap that went on.
She's showing skin?
No, not yet.
God damn it.
Although I think they did. No, that was She-Hulk. My bad. she's, you know, mulling over how they can move forward. And her big plan is to dissolved the monarchy, and what's the new Asian one? Her name's Ion or something like that. She promotes her as the interim leader, you know, while they make that, you know, regime change. You know, her and Black Bolt step down, which is kind of interesting because, you know, Black Bolt, when she says this, I don't really think Black Bolt's there. So it's just kind of taken on faith that Black Bolt's behind this. And they kind of have to determine, you know, how, you know, who's going to be picked up for a senator this and how to work that. And, you know, we're all about democracy now and everything else like that. And in the wings, in the, and I kind of skipped over this, please forgive me. In the beginning of this issue, we saw Marvel Boy. Remember Marvel Boy from...
yep. Grant Morrison's problem child, Marvel Boy.
Yeah, him. The Kree from an alternate dimension. That guy. We see him observing the events of what's been going on with the humans and the whole Terrigen crystals and everything. And, you know, he's all surprised. Oh, so wait a minute. They don't know about the... They have no idea. And they play this game. You don't see him again until the end of the issue when he shows up, you know, kicking some dialogue at Crystal. And, you know, he goes, I'm Space. I'm Marvel Boy. Come with me if you want to be awesome. Hey, babe, how you doing? And you know, it's just like, well, what the fuck? You know? So this book was really about setting up the new dynamics for what they're planning on doing with the Inhumans going forward. And really, I don't care. I don't. They don't kill Maximus, of course, because...
Of course they weren't going to kill Maximus. Come on, dude. You know better than that.
Actually, for a good while, you actually thought he was dead. Yeah, because it looked like they had killed him, and then it wasn't until when they started doing Hickman's thing, you find out that he's alive. It's like, well, really? But nothing that they set up here, nothing with Captain America looking upset that, you know, he no longer has access to Maximus, because apparently there's been some goings on there. Triton and his, you know, act of contrition and being complicit in whatever was going on. And Black Bolt and whatever the hell was going on with his brother that led him to not ask for his death. Because that was a thing, apparently. Nothing here sticks. I just kind of went, meh. I didn't care about really any of it. And it wasn't that it was awful. I just didn't care. You know, for the most part, I've been involved in, you know, various things and seen the Inhumans come in and be in a story for a good couple of decades, but they never really mattered to me because then they would go away. But now, because Marvel is trying to make them a thing and trying to, you know, kind of, they pushed the Fantastic Four out of the way, and they're trying to slide the X-Men over a bit so now that they can play with this because of the IP, I don't care. I really don't. It's not a bad book, but it's not something that gets my support, really. So I would probably give this a 2.3 Warriors out of 5. It's not awful. I just don't care. You know, I really don't. Yeah, I can't even disagree with that.
All right. Fuck the Inhumans. Let's close it out. You can follow us on...
Hey!
You know, when he says he's going to mute the mic, he doesn't mute the mic, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, okay.
Goodbye, John.
So I lose timing sometimes. I'm sorry.
You can find us on Facebook at The Mighty Warriors 3, at Twitter at The Warriors 2 Vcast. Apparently we have an email that Brian set up without my permission, without my consent, and I personally feel violated, but plug the email, Brian.
Okay, first of all, I only did it at Taser's request. Thank you very much. Okay,
hold on,
black
we
man
had an email from before, didn't we? Because Wes just asked for it.
I don't remember. Yeah, but I lost the password like years ago. I don't remember.
You can send us questions, comments, concerns at Mighty Warriors 3, the number 3, PCast at gmail.com. That's MIGHTYWARRIORS 3, PCAST at gmail.com. If you need it again, go back, rewind the podcast, and listen to it.
Yeah, we have an email!
But if you want more of the Marvelous One, I actually was a special guest on another podcast, a video game podcast called Charge Shot. They're called Charge Shot Podcast. It's out technically right now if you're a Patreon member, which if you like video games, I honestly expect you to go and subscribe to their Patreon for $1, just $1. It's asking for $1, and you get early access to shows starting on Monday. But if not, if you want to wait, you can. The show will be out by Friday, where I talk about fighting games and just sort of fighting game. And I get to rap about fighting games and talk about video games that I've been playing and video game news. And it was very fun to do that. Also, go to thegreenlanterncore.com where you can get all my stuff on Green Lantern related material. And of course, nerdcore.online where I am the lead writer for that site. So go take a look where I write 2 blogs a week on whatever given stuff that I feel like about writing within comics. Last week I wrote about... What did I write about last week? Oh, yeah, how Alex Ross is an overrated artist and he shouldn't be the artist from Marvel Generations. Boom.
Wow.
And last but not least, that's about it right now. That's all I have for now. Unfortunately, the video stuff is on hiatus just because I haven't had time to do... to record the final 2-3 episodes of a fucking 5-part Let's Play. That's how shit I am right now. But either way, y'all have anything to say before we go?
Yeah, next week I'm thinking I'll probably give a review for the Avengers vs. Ultron XXX porn parody review. Because, yeah, they did one. And it's a doozy.
God.
Of course they did.
Question, when are we advertising our Iron Fist special?
Update, I've officially watched one episode of Iron Fist.
Slowpoke!
Wow, you mean I'm actually about 2 episodes ahead of him? Wow.
Yeah, it was a struggle to get through one. I'm promising mid-May.
You're hearing it here, folks. The lazy Mexican says mid-May.
Maybe if the first episode wasn't so boring and I would be continued to incline to watch more.
How about you let us do it?
I went through 7 hours of a really great TV show, a really great show, Marco Polo. That was compelling television.
Marco
and then you go to
Polo.
Iron Fist, and it's like, what am I doing? Why I'm doing and it's I'm getting Jessica Jones. I'm hoping it picks up.
It will.
I will do my best to watch more. I am a very busy person. I am very busy person doing internet things and of course my real job.
I'm very busy doing internet things.
I write for 3 websites. Well, 2 websites. You don't know what that means yet. You don't know what that means. You didn't hear that from me. But mid-May, just because I want to finish, I'm going to finish it off mid-May.
Also, Legion?
I don't fucking watch Legion, so y'all can do whenever y'all can do that whenever
and
y'all want.
And I'm saying it, we're getting close to the end for
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah, the show that should have been canceled 2 seasons ago, right.
Actually, it looks like it'll get renewed.
Wow. Glad to know America still loves mediocre on primetime
television.
Actually,
it's probably some of its best storytelling to date, but,
Hi-oh!
Sure, you keep telling. Ladies and gentlemen, what we are witnessing is what we call the Stockholm Syndrome, in which case, that's what we're seeing right now. So, thank you for listening, as always. We will see you all next week for another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Again.
Work-a-bork-a-bork.
Until then, stay sweet as chef. I'm the Marvelous Ziggy, and stay marvelous. Have a good night, everybody.
All right.